Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. I have SMA Type 2, and I am a columnist and forums director for SMANewsToday.com. Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. And joining me today, returning to the show, is my friend Shaniqua Granby from Virginia Beach, Virginia. She was on the podcast in like fall of 2022, talking about her experiences as a lawyer and growing up with SMA. So Shaniqua, really glad to have you back today.
Yeah, I'm really excited, Kevin, to be here again. I know that, you know, it's been a while, and I just like catching up with you and, you know, chatting with you and everything. But yeah.
No, absolutely. And I think that's a great place to start. I know in the last episode, we kind of went over your main story and you talked about your diagnosis and growing up with SMA. But for you, okay, so that was recorded in fall of 2022. Can you talk about some of the changes in your life since then or any updates you want to share?
Yeah, I mean, as far as personally, since then, I had a death in the family that was really shocking to me. My cousin, she also had a disability, and she had sickle cell, which she suffered with for many years, and she was 4 days apart from me. And so we've lived together when we were younger. So like, she was like my sister cousin. And so we kind of share with each other because, you know, we were both part of the disabled community. I know a lot of people, some people don't think that sickle cell is a disability, but it is. You know, she suffered with chronic pain. And so she kind of understood me and I understood her. And so, you know, when she actually, you know, passed away, I think I had my first anxiety attack. I went to the doctor and I told her my symptoms and she was like, yeah, you were having an anxiety attack, you know, it's okay. And so that was the most difficult for me because, you know, I don't have her to go to anymore, right? And she was the closest thing like to me, especially because she had a disability. But for me, I mean, I understood that, you know, she was in a lot of pain and she was just tired. And I know a lot of people that in our community, in SMA community, have passed away. And so I understand what you all are going through. I'm here. I like to be here to encourage and to just to listen to people. You know, that's for me. And that's what's kind of helped me, just, you know, talking it out. My faith has helped me, you know, my belief in God. And so that's kind of one of my updates that's personal with family. But as far as with SMA, since 2022, I gained a lot of weight. And so I was more like mobile and now I'm not as much. So that has been a different, you know, a change for me, because of all the weight, I believe. And then of course, as my neurologist says, it's just that it's part of SMA, you know, the atrophy. And so that has been, you know, challenging for me, but, my family has been here to support me and act as my caregivers, you know, and I'm still learning, you know, so.
Oh, I think we all are every day. I mean, it's a, and I want to go back to, first of all, I'm really sorry for your loss, but I want to go back to that for a sec because, you know, you mentioned it too, that, you know, this is a thing we have to all, I mean, well, everyone has to go through, but in the SMA community, especially, it's, you know, I'm sitting here with you there was a, you know, big member of the community who just passed away last week who I knew from conferences and I used to be on panels with, and you know, it's one of those things that, like I said, it's everyone deals with passing at, you know, different points, but it's a different perspective when it's a kind of a regular occurrence, like, let's be real. And also, you know, when it happens at not the, you know, standard ages, it's not like we're elderly and, you know, the natural passing of time and everything. These are young people. So how do you, And I know you mentioned like talking it out helps you, and your faith is a big part of that. Do you have any kind of other coping strategies, or like especially, you know, with someone like your cousin who was so close to you?
I think for me, just listening to probably other people's stories, like, sometimes I'll just, go in our SMA group chat. I know I don't talk all the time, but I just read it. That kind of helps. And then also I like to listen to gospel music. I like to journal sometimes. Even if it's not, pen and paper, it may be like just on my phone. That's the easiest for me. And like whatever I'm thinking, I like to put it down. So I think that's about it.
No, for sure. I think those are great. I mean, I know for me, like writing music are big strategies for me as well. Like, I mean, listening, and then, you know, I mean, I write, you know, both my column and then a lot of stuff outside of work as well. And that's very cathartic. So I can definitely relate there. Just getting
Oh, I
those
forgot
thoughts
about
out.
one. I'm sorry. I forgot about
No, go
another
ahead.
one. There's this app, this coloring app. I really like that too.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I think, oh, that's great. Like, I mean, I think, you know, I know this is like a tough topic, but it's one I think we have to talk about in our community because it hits us. And yeah, I'm always curious, like, what friends do when, you know, you see a post and like whether it's someone, because I know for me, it's like whether it's someone I knew pretty well or we're more of an acquaintance, it hits you when it's someone in your community. And like, and it's extra hard when you're close with the person, but yeah, it's just like we have to talk about the, you know, how we cope with that and how we work through it mentally and emotionally.
Yeah, definitely for our mental health, we have to talk about it. We have to get it out, And it's good that we are here for each other to do that,
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, oh, and you mentioned too, like with sickle cell, just a side note, like, I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous when people say that that's not a disability because I just like, because we have a sickle site at our parent company. And so I've gotten to know people in that community well. And oh, it's, I mean, reading about pain crises and all of that, like, it's, you know, I that's just that's a side rant about just like ableism in society. But no, I'm really glad you said that as well. But yeah. And then the other, okay, so you were going over updates as well. You were talking about like having caregivers. And I know last time we talked about how like your grandmother was one of your primary caregivers in college. And I know you had a little more mobility when you were younger. But like, so now you are at a point like, are you living independently and having paid assistance? And if so, like, what, talk to me about that process and how you're doing it.
Well, I'm still living independently. I haven't done the paid process. My grandma is getting older, so I have to do that. So my mom comes over more. She lives closer. This is why another reason why I did move from, Maryland when I was working in these, the DMV area back home so I could be closer so they could help me more. So yeah, my mom, she comes over and helps me. Mainly I need help getting out of the bed. That's the biggest thing for me is getting out of bed. Like once I get help like out of the bed and into my wheelchair, I'm good. Like I can mainly do most of the things for myself because the chair really, really helps. I know we were talking about early about flying and everything and with that and with our chairs, like it's very important to us because it really helps during our daily day-to-day life tasks,
Yeah.
so.
Yeah, we were talking before recording about upcoming travels and stuff. Can talk about that more, like, 'cause I know it's a frustration for all of us, like anyone in wheelchair user communities, flying in a chair. So how, like, can you talk about some of your experiences flying with wheelchairs so far? Yeah, absolutely.
So for me, since I am a little bit more mobile, I use a travel chair. But even with the foldable travel chair, it has been damaged. I'm like, normally they say, oh, well, the foldable chairs, it shouldn't be as heavy, which it isn't as heavy, but the airlines have still damaged it. And it has taken me since conference of last year for my chair to finally get fixed. like last week. Well, no, a couple of days ago. So for someone to come in and fix it. So that's something that I'm really for pushing, and any way I can help during the conference and filling out those surveys, because I think that is really important. Being able to fly is almost, and I've had someone tell me that the foldable chair that I have, oh, you aren't supposed to fly with that chair. Okay, so what else am I supposed to use? Am I not supposed to fly at all? You know, like it's just ridiculous, some of the things that I've hear people say to me, or to say to our community. It's almost as if they don't want us flying or traveling. And it's really sad. It's like they want to put us sometimes like in a corner and say, oh, you belong over there. You know, we don't want to see you because you're disrupting our flow of things. So it's
I think you nailed it right there. And I mean, that's the thing is like, we're talking about these issues and there's so much ignorance at the heart of why they're not getting fixed. And I mean, how does that, I know you can't talk about exactly what you do today working, in a legal field, but still, we touched on this last time too, how your disability and advocacy work has kind of led you to where you are. Can you talk more about that and how you take those personal things you've dealt with and try to apply it to your work and advocacy in that sphere?
Of course, I'm partial, like, not, I don't work like for the a for an agency as their attorney, and I don't work for complainants as their attorney. However, I think customer service is the biggest thing, right? And just being able to listen to complainants. They just want to be heard, right? And so I have times where complainants, just want someone to listen to them complain. I may not be able to give them the decision that they want, but I can still have a listening ear, right? And be as kind, as compassionate as I can to answer some of their questions. I think a lot of times people are very rude, and they're rushing people, and they just want to get past this person so they can get on to something else or to their next job or their next task. But I try to focus on the complainant that I'm listening to. And I think that, and that comes from my own experience of not being heard or not wanting to be listened to. And so that's why I try to be as compassionate, kind, and active listening as possible.
Definitely. I love that. And oh, I mean, we need definitely more people, more disabled people from our communities, I mean, in legal spheres and in other fields as well, if we want that change to happen,
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I mean, I get complaints all the time. It's like, well, thank you so much for replying quickly to me, or thank you for having great customer service. You just don't know how much that means to me. I may not be able to change their situation, but I just maybe made their day, just a little bit easier.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And
Yeah.
then Janiqua, speaking too about, we talked about the conference a little bit. So, like I said, we met at the 2022 Charismatic Conference and that was your first one, correct? Was that?
Yeah, that was my
Yeah.
first in person. I did the
Yeah.
virtual one in 2019. That's kind of what geared me up to wanting to really go. And 2022 was the virtual. I was like, oh wow, this is some really good information. A lot of the seminars that they were having, I was like, this is I was really interested in that. And I didn't know like as much as a community it would be into like I there in 2022 in person.
I was gonna ask that what the catalyst was because I mean I've met like I've been going to conferences since I was a kid because I mean my parents got involved with the organization really early on and so I've known it for a long time but I think we've talked about it how the adult community has really expanded in recent years and yeah and it's been interesting hearing the stories of people of like what got them to their first conference so okay so for you it was like the information as it was the catalyst and then. Talk to me about what it was like once you got there in person, you did the virtual, but then once you got there in 2022 and you're seeing thousands of people and there's so much going on, what was that experience like for you?
At first it was very overwhelming. I was like, wow. Like I was not expecting so many people and so many like people that just wanted to come up and talk to me and just, you know, just get to know me and get to know each other and share the same experience, like a lot of things that I'm dealing with and I'm going through, same they're going through them, like, oh wow, we share the same experience. And so it was like, I think someone had described it. I can't remember who it was. It's like we were in our own world, right? Of people with all people with SMA, and because we don't get to see this every day, we don't get to be around this community every day. So it's just like we were in our own world. We get to basically do all the things that we want to do, and with each other. So I loved it, and that's why I'm so excited to go back again and in Texas. So we're gonna have fun, and this time it's like I guess there's no Disney World, so there's no rides or anything. So the adults are really gonna act up, but we're gonna have fun. We're gonna have fun in a good way.
Oh, we'll have a blast. It'll be great. And no, I feel like it is. I love what you said there about it's like being in our own world. And you know,
Yeah.
and prior to that, had you really known anyone else with SMA or anyone growing up or anyone from social media?
No.
Yeah.
No, like no one. And then of course, for me, social media wasn't as popular. 'Cause like, okay, so like, you know, I'm like 33, so Facebook started when I went to college. Like I had to put in my college email to even get on Facebook. And so by the time I got to college, I was focusing on school, so on Facebook, and then I was still in school when Instagram came, and then I just like finished in 2019. So I really was not into social media as I am now, and I'm honestly not that big on social media. I try to like, you know, post as much so people are like, what happened to her? Is she okay? You know, I try to at least post because I guess because I haven't been as active for so long. But no, I'm the only person that I knew that had SMA is when I actually went to my job in October of 2019. And that's also someone who, you know, who pushed me to do some more research on treatments and to be more involved in the community. So yeah.
That was a coworker who met. Yeah,
Yes, yep.
really. That's really. And was that? That's really cool. Because so, like, did I mean, how? When did you find out that they also had SMA?
Oh, well, okay, so she was also in a wheelchair too. Of course, I was in a wheelchair. And then when I started talking, I guess, about like my symptoms and things that I, you know, and then she was like, oh, you have SMA? I have SMA too. So yeah. So it wasn't like I said I had SMA. It's just like she just knew, you know? And she's like, I just knew it. Although she was type two and I'm type three. So, well, I know that that's a whole controversy now. I guess we don't do types anymore. I don't know. But,
It's a, well, one of those things. It's like I don't. It's still there, but it's less of an identifier as it used to be because of treatments, and you know, like the whole landscape is changing. So it's become less relevant than it once was, but it's still a factor, I would say.
So that's how she was like, yeah, she knew it. She's like, she knew it. So,
But that was so you were like what in your 20s then when that happened, or like late 20s?
that was what 20, I finished law school, what, is it 28, 29? No, 28, 28 or 29. So, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because I'm just because you know, like I said, I was involved, you know, with Karis Mayer back then in the late 90s. It was Families with SMA. So I met other people with SMA and other disabilities early on, and I, you know, I've written about this that I've had, you know, like I think when I was younger, I didn't see the need for it as much. Like it was more when I got older that I really wanted to connect to other with other disabled people. And but for you, so you know, you hadn't met someone else with SMA until that point. So, you know, growing up, like were you someone who, well, I guess your cousin was a big part of that because she also had isn't what this is about me. So
Yeah.
you had that, but beyond that, did you feel like you had a desire to connect with other people who had your same disability, or was it something you didn't really think about?
It would pop up sometimes. I'd be like, oh, I would like to go to like one of the camps or something. But I don't know why. I just, looking back, I don't know why I didn't push it or ask my mom, because I know she probably would have said yes. So I don't know. I'm guessing because I was in my own bubble. Like I said, I did have my cousins. They were so close to me. So it was just like, well, I already have friends, you know, because I also have a best friend. So I don't know. It wasn't anything that I pushed for and I felt like I should have, but it did pop up. It's like, oh, that would have been nice to go to a camp, you know, with them. But I don't know why I never like I said, pushed my mom to go, you know.
No, it's just really interesting because honestly, I think if my parents hadn't got involved in there, like I probably would have been in the same boat. Like I don't know that my
Yeah.
experience probably would have been very different if I hadn't done that. And I did MBA camp 1 year, but like I think about it because, like I said, I wasn't as adamant about making those connections when I was, particularly when I was like adolescent, going through my angsty stage and all that. But yeah, it's just been really interesting because I've, heard similar stories in past years of people I've met that, yeah, it's like, oh, 2019 or 2022, this was like my first time meeting anyone else with SMA, and it's totally changed me, and I want to, go on now. But it is a real, it's just really fascinating the way kind of our minds work and, what we, whether we want to seek out that community or not when we're younger and how we think about our disabilities.
Yeah, and then also for me, I was walking for like a long time. And so people wouldn't probably know I had a disability, right? And so I guess for me, it was just like, oh, I'm just Shaniqua, you know? So like,
Yeah.
I wasn't like Shaniqua with FMA. It was just like, I'm just Shaniqua. And of course, I think, I don't know for all of us, but sometimes it comes with that shame part or that embarrassment, right? That because I remember like when I did go to college, when I first did have to get a scooter, you know, I would like park it in at a certain spot and then walk around instead of just riding in it. Like at a certain point, I didn't really care what other people thought. I just rode it around everywhere. I needed it. You know, I didn't, and then at a certain time, I didn't care if I had to ask people if I needed help. I just needed help. I just asked somebody, you know, instead of just struggling. So I think it comes to a point in your life where you're like, I don't really care what other people think. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not sh ashamed. It is what it is, and I need the help. And yeah, and I think that's why the community is so important, right? And so I think that's why when we get older, it's a little bit different because I have heard stories, and I think like at conference, you know, parents come up to me and say, you know, where my son or my daughter, you know, she doesn't want to do this, you know, or she feels ashamed or, you know, things like that. So I understand where they're coming from. And I think that we just have to kind of probably let them kind of like, you know, grow out of it, encourage them as much as possible, right? But not try to like force it, you know, force them to be in community or force it on them because it wasn't forced on me or it wasn't forced on a lot of us. So.
No, absolutely. And I really resonate what you said there about kind of the shame initially. Because for me, it was, so I've always been in a wheelchair, but when I was younger, I had a lot more physical strength and upper body strength. And then it
Yeah.
was in high school when my arm and upper body strength started to decline. And it got to that point where high school and college, okay, I have to ask other people to help me eat. And that
Yes.
was like a really hard thing to reconcile with. Like you said, now I'm just very comfortable asking for help. And, I mean,
Same.
part of, right. And like, I mean, part of it is I have like, oh, I have to take a robotic arm. So helps with that a lot. But still, there's a lot of things I need help with these days and way more so than, 15 years ago or whatever. And I
Yeah.
think you're right in that it is a process. And I, like, was there for you like a moment where you're just you had that kind of like feeling of shame for a while, and then you're just like, you know what, I just, if I don't get over this. I'm not gonna get the help I need, and I'm not gonna live the way I want to.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think it goes back to community. I know my faith stresses community a lot. Like, I'm Christian, we stress being a community. We it's part of, as being Christians, you need each other. We all need each other, right? We're part of the body. So for me, it was when I was in college, I joined a student leadership program, and I think when they had kind of accepted me and I had friends and like I was part of something bigger, that's when I was like, you know what? I can just be Shaniqua with SMA, if I need help. And so I can use my scooter around campus. They actually named me Hampton HU Scooter Girl. It was a funny thing, right? And so honestly, I kind of also advocated on campus too. And I was like, people that are coming after me, who want to go to college, and who have a disability, I can probably push for those things on campus. So I think that's kind of what helped me was the community and joining a leadership group, right? So yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I totally agree with that. I think it's very similar for me. I mean, in you know, it, like I mean, the SMA community obviously playing a big role, but even like communities I joined that were non-disabled too, like working for the student newspaper in college, and you know, finding those people who are going to support you and going to help you through, and realizing that we're all going through, you know, different challenges and growth and all that, and you know, are you finding people who are going to support you on that journey?
I
Awesome.
think
Yeah.
that's what it is. Yeah. You like college is kind of like what you make it, right? And so there's so many different clubs and organizations that you can fit in there. And I think that's kind of why it's like 4 years. It helps you grow and mature.
Totally. It's, I mean, they say like coming of age is just like adolescence. I disagree. I think like your 20s and college years or whatever you do, you know, that's like a second coming of age. And I mean, that's a lot of where I found my identity.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and Janiqua too, talking about identity and, you know, sharing our experiences as disabled people, you also, you know, so we're putting this episode in February, which is Black History Month. And so can you talk about that aspect as well, being, you know, the intersectionality of being a Black disabled woman and just your experiences there, and you know, anything you want to say to that?
I know my experience is just so different than a lot of people's experience, being Black and disabled. I think because I kind of like stayed in spaces where I guess my Blackness was appreciated. Like I went to a historically Black college, in the federal government where my dis like I was able to get a job because of my disability, right? And so I haven't really had a lot of barriers, being a Black disabled woman. And then also there's this thing called pretty privilege, right? And then, because like people open the door for me. Like if I ask for help, people help me. So I haven't really experienced that, I guess, racism, so to speak, or was it genderism, whatever, because of my gender. But I have heard stories, I've heard stories of people being racist and being rude and being very disrespectful because of, being disabled and being like looked down upon. I remember, I guess, going back to, wanting to put us in a corner for being, disabled. When I was interning in Chicago for a law school one time, I had someone say, this is why disabled people don't really go out. They stay in the house because, yeah, this is because of, like transportation and, things like that. This is why they don't go outside. This is why we kind of keep them inside. So that's on that end. But as far as being black and disabled, I don't even have any like examples. It's really bad. I know it's not bad, but it's a good thing, right? But yeah, I don't really have any like.
No, and that's okay. Well, and I don't want to like put you by like saying, like share, either the negatives or the positives, but I then no, that's the thing is I want to like I think every person's story is different, and I just wanted to see like what your experience has been like, and like what you have to say in terms of just the representation, like because I and because like that's I mean I'll just be a friend like with the SMA community. When it was, I mean, granted, it used to be like 300 people when we were younger, but it was, there was very little diversity there. And it's, I'm not gonna say like we are, oh, yay, we have more LGBT and people of color and stuff, like, yay, like that's great. But that doesn't mean there aren't still a lot of groups within our community that are, unreached. And I mean, I think we have a lot of work to do. And that's why I'm grateful for people like you to have sharing their voices and stories.
Yeah, I think going back, I didn't when I did go to I think maybe like one event when I was younger, SMA, I was the only woman there and I was the only black woman there. So I guess that is one experience that I've had. But it also could be because they didn't know about the event, right? And I guess like it does go back to the work that we have to do. Within a community to reach out to diverse groups of individuals as much as possible. But I get that kind of is an experience that I've had. I didn't see myself in the community. And I think I've heard that a lot from women who are Black who have SMA. They don't see themselves. And like for me is when they do meet me or when they do find me on social media, they're like so excited. And like I'm so excited too because like, we can share that like especially with our culture, everyone's culture is different. Black culture is different, right? And so we can share that with each other. Like, you won't never know what it is to be, like a Black woman with SMA. So someone who as a Black woman with SMA, she knows how I feel, in my experience, even though it's not going to be exactly the same.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I love that, and I mean, you said it, you nailed it right there. I think it's just a matter of like we all want to see ourselves reflected. If there's our, if this is a community that we supposedly belong to, then like, yeah, there needs to be that, are being able to see ourselves, our stories, and have those connections, and that's how we grow. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Janico, thank you so much. I know we hit on like heavier topics this time, and this has been great. But is there anything else you want to say about, I know we usually end on just like advice for the community out there, which you shared last time, but is there anything else you want to say about just where you are now or to people out there in the SMA community?
I think this year for me, I'm like focusing on myself. I'm always selfless. I'm always going to be selfless. Like, I'm always going to be uplifting and encouraging people. But I'm also, I think, focusing also on my mental health, myself, like my needs, and in order for me to be able to encourage other people and to uplift them. So, you have to be, you got to work on yourself too. And like self-care is really important. Like picking days where, you get your nails done, your hair done. And that's another thing, with being a Black woman, our hair. Okay, well, that is, you know what? I just thought about another experience I did have where someone actually put their hands in my hair one time to see if they can feel the tracks. See
Oh
if my
my.
hair was real. So I guess that is the one experience. I'm thinking about them now, right?
Sure.
But yeah, I think yeah, doing self-care, like if you can do it for yourself. It's so relaxing. I just think for a lot of us, 2023 was just, oh, it was a lot. I'm hearing that, right? So I think 2024 is a year of just relaxation, you know, doing things that you really enjoy to do and taking care of yourself. I think that's really important.
Totally. I mean, it's just, you can't care for others without tending to yourself and your own needs. And that's not selfish at all. That's, like, I think, empowering, and it helps you, like, be more present with others. Yeah. That's awesome. Awesome. Well, Shaniqua, it was great again catching up, and for listeners too, go back if you haven't heard the first episode, go back and listen to that one, and then follow up here. But yeah, Shaniqua, and where can people find you? I know you're not on social media a lot, but we can put your handle in the description.
Oh yeah, I think it's Shaniqua. Well, my IG, I think, is Shaniqua_Niqua. So that's SHANIQUA_NIQUA. And then on Facebook, it's just Shaniqua Granby. So, yeah.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, Jenico, great catching up, and yeah, best of luck with all many endeavors and everything. And yeah, we'll definitely have you back on again in the future.
Okay, thank you so much for having me. This was a great conversation.
Absolutely. No, thank you. And for our listeners out there, you can hear more stories and conversations like this by subscribing to the SMA News Today podcast. You can also connect with us directly on our forums and social media, and follow smanewstoday.com for all the latest SMA news and perspectives. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com, and be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.